Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Upon the birth of his son, Zechariah's mouth was opened by the Lord, and the old priest and new father began to sing, "You, my child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way." The words of Zechariah are not only inspired, but touching. He was clearly a proud papa. He knew that his was a child of destiny. His child would be the prophet of the Most High. He would prepare the way of the Lord. Among the children of men, no one would be greater. This is heady stuff, to be sure. But if you ask me, John the Baptist was given in many ways a bum job. There's an old saying that the pioneers get the arrows. So also immigrant laborers lay down railroad tracks in the heat of the summer so that others can ride in dining cars to their destination. Some build great houses, but live in mobile homes. Some set the table, but never get to eat. Foot soldiers storm the beaches so that the generals can enter in triumph. And so it is with many great endeavors. Someone's got to lay the foundation. Someone's got to do the grunt work to prepare the way so that others might enjoy the fruits of his labor. And this is true, by the way, in the church as well. We are called to keep planting seed and trust that the Lord will bring the harvest. We are called to be faithful not just for ourselves, but for the generations that, God willing, will follow. And so it was with John the Baptist. We might call him John the Bulldozer, or John the One-Man Wrecking Crew. John was called to a noble task. He was called to be the last and greatest of the Old Testament prophets. But it was a calling which came with a heavy price. John would never enjoy the luxuries of his own father who served in the temple of the Lord. His ministry would be in the desert. While his father wore fine robes, John's liturgical garments would consist of rough camel hair. Unlike the greater one who would follow him, he was not invited into the homes of prominent religious leaders. John was sent to set the table for the feast, but he himself would eat grasshoppers. The greater one who would follow him would drink wine, but John drank only water. He would sing a funeral dirge so that the one who followed him could dance at a wedding. While Jesus was sent to wholeheartedly embrace the world and all that was in it, John would live a life set apart. He was called not to participate in society, but to stand apart from it and to point the finger of God, to call God's people to repent the errors of their ways, to call God's people to see the emptiness of their lives, and to point them to someone who could bring true meaning. On this, the feast of the Nativity of John the Baptist, we thank God for the child of Elizabeth and Zechariah. We give thanks to the one who paved the road on which our Lord would one day walk. And to be sure, John the Baptist was a great man and was destined to draw large crowds out there in the desert. His popularity, I suppose, would rival that of today's rock stars, and he even began to make the powerful nervous. You might recall that during the 1960s, John Lennon created quite a stir when he said that among teenagers, the Beatles were probably more popular than Jesus Christ. A pretty dumb thing to say, although it might have been true. It might even have been the case, though, that John the Baptist was, for a while, more popular than Jesus himself. People streamed out to the desert, and having heard the fiery preaching of John, began to wonder whether he was, in fact, the long-awaited Messiah. For this reason, perhaps, John the Evangelist goes to great pains to tell us that John the Baptist was not the light, but only a witness to the light. And with his use of step parallelism, Luke demonstrates that while John and Jesus had a lot in common, Jesus was in fact the one to watch. John's nativity was indeed miraculous, but it's hard to beat a virgin birth. And so when we hear the story of John the Baptist as the evangelists tell it, there is a certain sense in which he is but an opening act. No matter how good he was, no matter how great of a preacher he was, no matter how popular he was, his time on the stage had to be limited so as not to take away from the feature attraction. And so it was that John prepared God's people for the advent of the Messiah. And how did he do it? Simply by calling people to repent and pointing people to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, simple law and gospel preaching. And along the way, he confronted people with their sins and never backed down from even the rich and the powerful. And if John was destined to be the great and final prophet, he was, I suppose, also destined to die the death of a prophet. He was beheaded for speaking the truth to power. He died for the sake of the confession of the truth. But in another way, he died so that the eyes of the world could focus on Christ. He was ushered off the stage so that he could decrease and Christ might increase. And so on this day, we thank God for John the Baptist, even as we prepare the way for Christ's second coming. We pray that we might prepare the way as John did, that we learn to sow in expectation of a harvest that we may not see, that we preach the word in season and out, that we learn to be bold and be willing to pay the price, that we learn to be poor even as we await the riches of heaven, that we learn to hunger and thirst now, knowing that the great feast is prepared for us, that we learn to decrease so that Christ might increase. Amen.